The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, howdy partners, little Tucson, Arizona greeting for you. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show. It is the day after the election. We will take a deep dive into what voters had to say in yesterday's city and area election on this Wednesday, November the 8th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice. We are broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, our fine website here at the station. Podcasts and all of our shows available on my website on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Anytime during the hour, you are invited to call us with your comments and questions. The live line number is now declared officially open, 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to speak with Ward 6 Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, and congratulations are in order. Councilman Kasacek easily winning re-election to another four-year term as a Democrat, and he spent, I believe, less than $100 in the effort. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Bill. Yeah, actually, I blew that budget. I rammed it all the way up to $141.
Whoa!
So, yeah, $141. So, but you know what? What I am proud of, though, is this community for allowing somebody to follow the notion of let's take the money out of politics and let's judge people on their record, on their reputation, on the relationships. We have a community that is built on partnerships. The city government doesn't do everything for everybody. It's the nonprofits. It's the citizens out in the community who take an active role in making this just a great place to live. And to be able to simply say, look, for the last 8 years, I've been working with you all. We've been doing this together, arms linked, in turning around our situation locally. We had a $44 million deficit 8 years ago when I started this, and we were warring factions between the city and Rio Nuevo and the county. And now things have turned around completely, and it's not because of any one person's efforts. It's not because of what I've done at the Ward 6 office or even my staff. It's because of the partnerships that we have in this community. And so to be able to go to the voters and say, we've done this together for the last 8 years. Do you want to rehire me and we'll keep doing it? And for them to come back and say at a 60 to 33% margin, yeah, let's keep doing this together, I think is gratifying. What is even more gratifying, though, or maybe equally gratifying, is the fact that instead of giving money to a political candidate to turn into litter all over our medians in the form of cardboard signs with my name all over it, they've taken those dollars and invested them in nonprofits throughout the city. And that was the message, is instead of giving money to a political campaign, find a nonprofit. And I've got examples of dozens of them that people have supported throughout this campaign. And that's what's really gratifying, is to see that the citizens of this community stepped up and said yes to the work that we've been doing together, and also yes to the nonprofits who need people's support throughout this community. So it was a good night. It was a good campaign.
It was a very big night for Democrats, really, not only here in Tucson. Clean sweep for the Democrats in the three wards that were contested, but across the country, it was a good night for Democrats.
Yeah, and so this is the first chance that the people across the country have had a chance to weigh in on the first 12 months of the Donald Trump administration, and I think it was a pretty resounding voice in all the races that I'm familiar with anyway, that the Democrats are energized. I can tell you, just from a personal perspective, locally and throughout Pima County, as I've been making my way around in the last year, the Democratic Party said, you know what, in November of 2016, A lot of people made a lot of assumptions. People did not participate in the process. They were asleep at the wheel, and they saw the result, and they did not like the result. And I see a real energized electorate. I see a party that is out in the community now, knocking on doors and making phone calls and getting involved in the political process. And that doesn't just simply mean voting. It means finding issues on which you're passionate and engaging, going out and doing advocacy work on in support of education, in support of public safety, in support of any, pick your issue. And get involved. And so I think that the November of 2016 election lit a fire under folks to say, you just can't take anything for granted. And if you want change, you need to be that change. And I think that's what we saw yesterday.
The Strong Start Tucson, Penelope Jacks' organization, I think no one can fault Penelope. It was the right, the intentions were very good for this, for early childhood education, but the particular way it was put together, folks didn't like that. But it does now beg the question, where do we go from there or from here in that particular area?
Well, I agree with your assessment. I met with the Strong Start people multiple times before the 204 even got to the ballot, and I had suggested that number one, the proposition lacks specificity. It was $50 million, half cent sales tax, was $50 million in perpetuity with no opportunity to go back and take a second look at it, make tweaks on it. The recipients weren't well defined. The manner in which the money was going to be doled out wasn't well defined. Some people had concerns about conflicts of interest on the people who would make up the nonprofit who would dole the money out. So I think the proposition itself, in the manner in which it was crafted, had flaws. But as you correctly point out, the whole notion of preschool education and the value of preschool education, the data is simply irrefutable that kids who have that as a head start do better academically and socially. So. My hope is that the Strong Starts people take a breath and step back. And next time, there are a couple of things that I would suggest they do. Number one, and I suggested this to them before it got to the ballot, number one is broaden the scope of what the ask is, and don't just simply make it pre-K education, because that sort of bifurcates the education community. K-12 and higher education have taken huge financial hits in the last several years from the state legislature abdicating their responsibility and ignoring court orders. And so we saw Prop 123 that was highly divisive. It wound up passing just barely. But again, now let's take a look at the whole notion of funding education, how it's done, but don't simply pick and choose one facet of it and bring the education community together. And secondly, make sure that the focus is on whose responsibility this really is to fund public education, and that is the state legislature. They have lost in court. They have had to go back to the ballot and achieve at the ballot box what they failed to do from a judicial standpoint. And that really needs to be the focus. And there are significant needs. We saw infrastructure bonds fail at the local district level, three out of the four yesterday. Infrastructure is, again, something the state legislature has been charged with doing by the courts, and I think that what needs to happen now is the education community, those of us who advocate on behalf of public education, need to make it very clear to the legislature that you guys need to step up to the plate and start taking care of your the heavy lifting that you're responsible for doing by law.
Got a couple of calls, and I do want to get to them, but we are coming up on the break, and so but I want to touch on the zoo, because that's an interesting situation, how really both propositions needed to pass for the zoo improvements to happen. One did and one didn't. That's an odd situation. I know it's only, I think, a 400-vote difference. It's not over yet, but what happens now?
Well, I've already got a call in the city attorney to ask that specific question. What I'm hearing is that because the authorization to spend the money by charter has been approved, It's simply the allocation of those dollars that needs to be specified. And if that is true, then I believe that the burden shifts to the mayor and council to say whether or not we want to allocate those new dollars to the zoo. I believe that there was voter confusion on the way that was presented in the ballot. People had to vote for both of the propositions in order for the single question to be answered in the affirmative, and that's the first time I've ever seen that in a proposition
right.
like
yeah.
that. So I think there was a significant amount of voter confusion, but the fact that it's razor edge right now, within a few hundred votes, says to me that because the authorization was adopted pretty significantly, that the confusion is possibly what led to the thing going down on the 203. So we'll have the conversation with the city attorney. We'll see what the legal options are, and probably go back and listen to the public some more. But I supported that.
I did too. So what I'm hearing from you is, and I am going to take the callers actually, Steve, before the break. What I'm hearing from you is this thing is not over.
No, it's not over, and the conversation needs to happen from a legal standpoint. Is what are the council's options?
Right,
and that needs to be vetted.
All right, let's take Chuck and Doug. Chuck, you'll be first, just real quickly, please, Chuck.
Yes, Councilman Kosachik. I am a Trumpster. I think our president is doing an outstanding job. But I understand that in your victorious speech last night that you said people like us really aren't wanted in this city.
Hmm. All right. Chuck, thank you for the call. Councilman, your reaction.
Well, I didn't say people like him aren't wanted in this city, so I didn't see any of that kind of coverage, and those words didn't come out of my mouth. What I did say, though, is that Donald Trump and Trump's values do not reflect the values of this community, and I would stand by that. And I think the results will pan that out.
All right. Doug Martin, owner of Good News Communication, would like to speak with Steve. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, Councilman. I always appreciate the fact that you're very thoughtful and that you do your homework, and so you know, you've done a great job the last 8 years. My question is about Tucson's future, and it seems like the last 8 years we've been on point a little bit more, trying to really get the pieces to fit together, particularly the business piece, so that we have the economy that can employ people and bring in the tax revenue. My concern is that, you know, we take our eye off that ball, and that will start fading away as it has before. In the past, when Tucson really didn't pay attention to what was going on and didn't respect the business community, and we saw ourselves go down economically. So I just wanted you to address that. What are you going to do to make sure that we don't lose the momentum that we have going right now?
Can I have you answer that, Steve, after the break?
Sure.
How would that be? All right.
Absolutely.
We will take the break because we do want to introduce our listeners to the fine group of people who make this program possible. We certainly appreciate their support. And we'll hear from Councilman Steve Kosachik answering Doug Martin's question about the future of this community right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about. transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Coming up Thursday on the Buckmaster Show, why participation in high school football is dropping. Hall of Fame coach Jeff Skurin joins me to provide some answers, plus the struggle to put fans in the stands at Arizona Stadium. Buckmaster airing noon to 1 on AM 1030 Tucson's Voice. Also worldwide live listening podcasts and the show archive, always available for you at buckmastershow.com. Okay, here we go now with segment two of the Buckmaster Show, post-election edition. Steve Kasachek, newly re-elected councilman from Ward 6, on the live line. And councilman, if you would answer Doug Martin's question, please, about really the direction of this city.
Sure. We have, first of all, I think I agree with what Doug is suggesting, and that is that we have a good story to tell. 8 years ago, when I started this, we were facing a $44 million deficit. As I mentioned earlier, we were at war with the county, with Rio Nuevo, on pretty much everything. You fast forward to today, and we have a structurally balanced budget. We have successfully achieved over $500 million worth of private sector development simply in the downtown core. We've seen our three largest annexations, both geographically and economically, in the last 12 months in and around the city of Tucson. So we are on a positive trajectory, and I think that the voters reacted to that and said, yes, keep it going. So Doug's question was, how do we not take our eye off the economic ball? I'm in complete agreement with him on that, and I'm going to continue to push for, let me just highlight three particular areas. Number one is the Sonoran Corridor. Our Sonoran Corridor is the I-10 to I-19 connection out around Raytheon, out around Tucson International Airport. It is international commerce. It is over-the-road commerce. It is the rail spur that we have out at the Port of Tucson connected with that, as well as air cargo. There is not a place in this state that is more ripe for the logistics and technology and the manufacturing industries that can go in out there to support as supporters for Raytheon and for some of the other industry out there right now than that area. There's not a place in the state that's as tailor-made for that. So I'm going to continue to push for that and work with the County Board of Supervisors and our federal delegation to complete that infrastructure so we can build that area out. That's one, and I don't think there's a more important one. Secondly, I'm working with the city manager right now and Visit Tucson to get ourselves a booth and some presence at South by Southwest next year. South by Southwest is in Austin, Texas. It is a major trade hub for millennials, and we often hear the conversation about how do we keep our graduates here. I want to sell this region on the basis of what we have to offer in terms of location for some of the companies that would do exactly that, is to keep our millennials here when they get out of the U of A or travel down here from ASU. So that's two. And the final one is the film industry that you and I have spoken about before.
Mm-hmm.
We are leaving 20% on the table every time a producer, every time a film firm comes here and wants to look at us for a shoot. The Visit Tucson office is doing the best they can. They're doing a great job with the incentives that we and the county have put into place. What we have to offer is location. We have a downtown urban environment that obviously that we can shoot in. You can go 30 minutes. You're out in the Sonoran Desert. A little further out, you've got Old Tucson. And you go in the other direction, you're up on top of Mount Lemmon, and you've got a different, completely different environment. So film companies can come here. And they can do multiple kinds of shoots without having to move crews all over the state. What we're lacking right now is an effective statewide film incentives. Now, to his credit, Governor Ducey last year put in place a film office. It's a little bit more than a shingle. It's got a little bit of money behind it. And Shelley Hall and the Visit Tucson Film Office have been working with the state office to travel to some of the shows and lure shoots and producers here to the city of Tucson to look at what we've got to offer. We're getting episodics. We're getting ads. We're getting commercials. What we're not getting are the major motion pictures that we used to have. And so getting the state on board with respect to building that film incentive in on a statewide basis is really going to be the key to turning that corner.
And when the movies are made here in Tucson, it does help get our story out there, and it also helps economic development.
Oh, completely. And it's clean industry, and it's not simply a situation where a film coming in here to shoot benefits people who have that kind of a skill set. People fill hotel room nights. They go and eat in our restaurants. They rent cars. They have to build sets, and they rent the costumes. So there's a ton of horizontal effect across the economy that a film that's shooting in and around the Tucson area brings. And so yeah, you're right. So if the state legislature would put together a film package that would get us on a par with what some neighboring states such as New Mexico are doing, it's a jobs bill, and that's the way they need to look at it. It's not a tax giveaway. It's a jobs bill, and it's going to net positive to the area and to the state.
In the second half hour today, Councilman, we'll be talking with David Safir about the bond. You mentioned three of the four school bonds did go down. Flowing Wells did pass. TUSDs did go down. That is a bit of a concern, I think, concerning economic development when potential employers to our area look at the support people have or don't support education here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that in principle. I think that what people they're saying two things. Number one is we're taxed plenty, and we don't need to add more taxes. But I think the other piece of that conversation that really needs to happen is what I was mentioning earlier, and that is that we have seen the state of Arizona defund Pima Community College. I mean, defund them. They have cut over $100 million out of the U of A in the last several years. They have significantly reduced the funding to K-12 education. They have turned their back on infrastructure needs at the K-12 level. And we've got a governor up there who says he's all about economic development. When companies come into the state of Arizona and into this region to look to relocate, they're looking at several things. It's not all about tax breaks. It's about the quality of education. It's about the kinds of workforce that people have, that a region can offer. And when you undercut public education the way this governor and this state legislature has done in the last several years, it's going to send a horrible message to companies wanting to move in here. So I completely agree with connecting those dots between support of public education and economic development. I think the voters, it was too big an ask. Frankly, I think that in the case of TUSD, the Tucson Unified School District Board, and some extent Sunnyside as well, they've had their issues internally. And as we had to get over the hump in terms of rebuilding trust with the voters at the council level, I think these boards need to do the same thing and sort of calm their own ships before they go out and ask the voters to increase taxes in order to help them out.
All right, Steve Kasachek, just curious, where did the $100 go in your campaign? Was that some office supplies, or what did you do?
Well, you have to pay a little bit to keep a website up.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's one thing. So it's, you know, $20 a month or something like that. And, you know, so just little knickknacks like that. I had to buy spray paint for those signs that I did make, and you buy the poster board. So, yeah, there are little things here and there.
All right. Any money left over, you could have a party there at Ward 6.
$59. We're going to really throw a bash.
Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. Congratulations to you.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. Coming up on 12:30, and we're going to go more into this with David Safir about this whole thing about the school bonds and not passing. And up in Phoenix, 22 out of 22, all passing in Maricopa County to better schools there. What's going on? We'll talk with David after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the post-election edition here on this Wednesday. This portion presented by Green Things, Green Things at 3384 East River Road and by the Rito Riverwalk. Of course, they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west, the location there on River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Coming up Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, one of their fine free workshops on reacquisitioning broken pottery and making it into a beautiful platter. So that's a great idea, rather than throw the, in some cases, very nice piece of pottery away. If it breaks, put a rose plant in there or something else, and they'll tell you how to do it over at Green Things. Again, greenthingsaz.com. So we're continuing with our discussion here on sort of dissecting of what happened in yesterday's election. And David Safir joins us right now. David writes primarily about education at the TucsonWeekly.com, their section called The Range. And it's appropriately enough called that because it's everything from A to Z at The Range. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill.
I'm a little bit, I'm a little surprised. You know, we have up in Phoenix, we had 22 of these school bond measures up in Maricopa County. They got 22 school districts that were asking folks for more money to help them. Overrides, right?
Yeah. Overrides and bonds.
Bonds
are for physical things.
I always get that
things,
mixed
and
up.
Overrides is for actual education. You can put overrides into the actual personnel and things of that nature. Bonds, you know, since they're long-term and you bond for buildings, that's for repairs and AC and inflowing wells are actually going to fix some schools pretty much completely. They were built in the 60s, so.
Yeah, so these were all school-related,
education-related
issues. And the voters up there in Maricopa County said yes to all of them.
They did, and people who were talking about it, I read the article in the Republic, you know, up there in Maricopa County, and they said they had never heard of this. They have a better track record in voting up bonds in Maricopa County for some reason, and I want to kind of speculate about that, but this is unheard of, all of them passing, and all but six of these passed by double digits,
oh,
meaning
my
these
goodness.
Weren't even close,
wow.
10 or more points. So that's a wash. You know, that's absolutely, you know, almost a landslide to win by 10 points on something like that.
And some people might say, well, maybe these were like higher income school districts, but it probably cuts across all
I looked further in the article, and it said in the article that they were rural and urban.
Huh.
They were wealthy and poor. You know, if you have that many districts and they're all passing, and it's 20-something districts. Actually, they said 27 bond and override measures. That's what it said in the Republic, not 22. So maybe some districts had two of them. Mm-hmm. But if they all pass, that's something. And it had nothing to do with one group supports and the other doesn't. One is rich, one is poor, one is in the city, one is in the more rural areas. They just went up and they went up big. And meanwhile, we have here in Tucson, where as you and Councilman Kozacik were talking about, one went up, that was the Flowing Wells, and that passed big, 61 to 39,
wow.
more than 20
wow.
points.
Yeah.
The other three went down by close to 20 points, TUSD, Sunnyside, which is to the south of TUSD, and Marana, which is up north of Tucson. Hmm. Those all went down, and the question is why? The other thing that went down, as you also talked about, was Prop 204, the one of the Strong Start Tucson about giving education to the 3 and 4-year-olds. So all of those went down. Prop 204, I think, maybe lost by a few more points than the others, but it was across the board, except for Flowing Wells.
And by the way, for those just tuning in, one thing that was mentioned during our interview with the councilman is that the Sioux issue may not be dead. this may go now before the council, and we may see the zoo funding after all.
Well, he made it sound like one half of it went down, but last I heard that there was a 400 vote separation. So they'll probably do a recount. You never know how those will go. Mm-hmm. Chances are it's going to go down. But it was that's the other thing. That one was right down the middle. The others were down by 20 points. Mm-hmm. This one was right down the middle and hanging by a thread, basically. You know, a few more people voted for it, and we'd have more money for the zoo.
Okay, so getting back to this fundamental question. So what's different about Phoenix than Tucson when it comes to education?
Well, I'm going to tell you what a lot of people are going to say, which I don't subscribe to, and that is the blame TUSD for everything philosophy. TUSD gets terrible press. People will say it's a terrible district. I agree about the press. I don't agree about the district. It's not a stellar district, but it's not terrible. And they say, well, you hear so much bad press about TUSD, a pox on all their houses. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to vote against all of them.
Which is totally unfair if that is what people are thinking.
Well, it doesn't even make sense because TUSD got 41% yes, but Sunnyside got 36 and Marana got 38. So TUSD did better than the other two by a couple of points. So how does that make sense? And how does it follow with Flowing Wells going up and them going down? So I'm going to posit another, and I have no idea if this is true, but I was thinking, this sounds like an odd place to go, I was thinking about potholes.
Hmm, okay.
And I was thinking about the state of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix right now is a city on the rise. It really is. It's doing really well. It recovered from the recession far better and quicker than Tucson did. If you look at it, it's got that spiffy light rail up there.
Yeah.
They get a whole lot more money for the roads than we do. They don't have the pothole problem we do simply because they get money handed out better. And that's, I think, a function of the fact that the legislature, the Republican-dominated legislature, really dislikes Tucson. Mm-hmm. As Kozacik said, they purposely nulled out about $1 million for our community college here that didn't happen elsewhere. So if a city's on the rise and you feel good about the city and the roads are good and the infrastructure seems good and it seems like things are going well, if you're in that positive frame of mind, oh, what the heck, I'm going to see if I can support other things to keep it going in that direction. Tucson, I really like some of the things that Tucson is doing. I think the city council is doing a wonderful job in many ways. I think the downtown is terrific. The light rail is terrific. But people don't go downtown. People don't ride the light rail. Many, many people around here, certainly the people out in the outer areas. Tucson still hasn't recovered well. Tucson, though, is attracting businesses, isn't attracting businesses hand over fist. Mm-hmm, it's not a growing, vibrant economy. Mm-hmm. And when you get that kind of malaise in a city about, well, we're not doing that well, why the heck should I throw
more
money?
I think you're onto something. That's that perception that this is a town that's really struggling. And I say perception because in some areas, things are getting better. I mean, the roads in the city are looking better.
Right.
Anyway, let's take a quick call, David.
Okay, sure.
This is David calling, and he says, well, I'll let him explain. Hey, David.
I was going to ask you a question why the school bonds in Marana went down.
Yeah.
Because this area is growing so fast, to put in so much development, and developers, they pay a small voluntary impact fee to the schools that get off the hook from paying a mandatory impact fee. And that's the reason why the school keeps having to go to this tax years with the issue of getting classroom size down, because more development, there's more enrollment, the school drives the classroom size up. So they keep going to the taxpayer. Okay, well, they need to get the message. They need to tell the legislature to change the law so that schools can charge a much higher mandatory impact fee because it's not working the current system because the developers aren't paying a high enough impact fee to offset the cost of growth. That's the reason why the taxpayers have been hit by these.
David, I think that's a very good point. If impact fees aren't being paid by the people who are building, when you build, you create more infrastructure needs and other people have to pick up those needs. Really, if you have needs or people are being brought to the area by the houses, then the money should be picked up by the people who are building them and, you know, by extension, by the people who buy those houses, because those are costs that they're putting on the city. I think that's a good point. I like that.
You know, getting back now to TUSD, we had Dr. Trujillo on the program yesterday, and he understands the issues. They're facing some big budget problems here, and he assured our listeners that in December there's going to be, as he called it, kind of a spring offensive. He's rolling out a program to deal with this multi-million dollar deficit now suddenly that the district is facing, because about 800 students that they thought were coming to TUSD are not going elsewhere. They're going elsewhere. So he's got to figure out how to deal with that budget problem right away. But in the meantime, when you see this bond issue go down, the infrastructure in the schools is deplorable.
And that's what the bond is for.
Yeah.
The bond would not buy new teachers or new supplies. They said it would free up some money for buying more things like computers and other things, because those wouldn't have to be spent on the necessary upkeep. But yeah, the schools will look worse, and you get this vicious cycle. The schools look worse, so people don't like the district as much, so people pull their kids out, so there are fewer kids, and, you know, you go around and around in a circle. One thing I want to point out, by the way, about what you said about the district losing 800 students, which is correct. The reason that, and maybe Dr. Trujillo talked about this, the reason the district is taking the hit on this right now is because of a new law.
We did touch on that, and I did not understand that law, and he educated me about the fact that, because in the past, it could be put off to the end of the fiscal year, mm-hmm. Which would be the end of June. Now it has to be dealt with immediately.
So imagine what Dr. Trujillo is going to face next September. He's going to have to say, if my numbers are going to go down and I lose money, I better hire fewer teachers. Mm-hmm. And then if the numbers don't go down, they're caught without enough teachers.
Right.
If the numbers go up, they can't accommodate that either. The old law said, we're giving you a set amount of money. You know what it is in September. Next year, we'll address it.
Exactly.
And that made more sense. This
yes.
This creates a level of uncertainty in all the school districts that, frankly, is absurd. There's no reason to do it, and it's punitive.
And it creates, for want of a better word, a sense of panic right now, I'm telling you.
They're in a sense of panic because right now they don't know. So next year, are they going to get rid of a bunch of teachers and then find, oh my gosh, our tactics are working and we picked up 200 kids, where are we going to put them? It's really a very difficult situation and a poorly planned situation by the legislature.
790-2040. We'd like to hear what you think, why the school bonds went down. Like to hear from you. Call us now. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. We are talking with David Safir, who writes primarily about education at the TucsonWeekly.com, their section called The Range. And we're just talking and kind of speculating, like a lot of other people today, on why three of the four school-related bonds went down. And we will resume that conversation in a moment. But first, I want to tell people about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which makes just a really nice weekend getaway. And if you have a little more time, how about a midweek getaway? It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. Not a bad drive at all, and a great place this time of year. The autumn leaves are turning in the high country, so it's a great way to hike, and the temperature is certainly very fall-like. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. So, continuing with our discussion, David, one of my Facebook friends suggested we bring on some of the leader or the leadership from Flowing Wells, and I think I will put that on my agenda to try to talk to the people over at the Flowing Wells School District about what is it about their district that folks really buy into, that the residents of that district buy into and approve, like they did yesterday, by a very overwhelming margin.
Yeah, they approved it by as much as the other ones did.
Yeah.
61-39.
So what is it going on?
Well, you know, Flowing Wells, and I don't know why, has some kind of secret sauce. And they seem to be doing something that other people aren't. If you look at their test scores and you look at the income levels of their students, their test scores are higher than you would predict, higher than similar schools. They seem to be able to pass these bonds and that others aren't able to pass. And it's a low-income area. There are a lot of people, I believe, who live in trailer parks and things of that nature. It is a more Anglo area, fewer Hispanic students up there, as to the, what is it, kind of to the west and a bit north of Tucson. So it's less Hispanic. And I have a feeling, and we were talking about this during the break, that there are fewer retirees. And me being of the retiree age, mm-hmm. I blush when I say this, mm-hmm. but people who don't have their kids in school, especially people who maybe are snowbirds and come here from elsewhere, why in the world should they spend their money on somebody else's kids? Their kids have gone through this. They've paid for it. Now it's their time to relax and enjoy themselves.
And not invest then in the future.
Rather invest in the pina colada than invest in the future. And I think it's, I'm being sarcastic, because I think it's absolutely awful, even if you don't, if it won't affect your specific future because your time on this earth is somewhat limited when you're a retiree. It's your planet. You've lived on this. You've taken from it. It's time to give back to it. And but this is, you know, this is like the sun coming up and going down during the day. The retirees tend to be a very hard sell for education because it doesn't affect them. And I think you get the "Hey, kid, get off my lawn" syndrome anyway. Well, I don't like children anyway, so why should I? I'm sorry for. I can do that because I'm of that same age. I'm not mocking someone who's not like me.
Yes, you are. And of course, in Oro Valley, what was that? That went down really the for the ball fields. That went down big time.
Oh, gosh, that went down 72-28. So you can't. You certainly can't blame TUSD for that.
No.
But you know, during the break, your engineer was frantically scribbling little notes to us on the computer and noting that the chaos at TUSD really probably turned a lot of people off. We've had nothing but intra-board squabbling between the board members. They unceremoniously fired the previous superintendent, H.T. Sanchez, and many people in the area painted him as a monster. And whether or not he should have been fired and whether or not he did a good job or a bad job, nonetheless, those things reflect on.
So the drama around all of that,
I mean, it doesn't help. Why am I going to invest in this place that's in chaos, which isn't true? I'm a teacher. What happens outside of the classroom affects the classroom, but the classrooms are running and they're functioning and there are some great teachers there. There are some lovely, wonderful, deserving children from 5 years old up to 18. I guess at 18, they're no longer children. Those are the kids I taught. I taught high school who deserve the help and the credit and the drama. Mm-hmm. There was drama in my school district when I taught too. But very little of it filtered down to me because I was in my little rabbit hutch with my students doing what I was doing. And if they weren't doing something that was going to change my curriculum, they could play all they wished, you know. And that was that's the way it is. We get a view that's distorted because we see the top people squabbling amongst one another.
What are you writing about currently at the range in your column?
Well, one story I'm writing, which is a continuing story, is one that I kind of sort of broke around here, and that is that there's this place in the University of Arizona within it that's not a department, but it's called the Freedom Center. That's what they like to call it. Hmm. It's called the Arizona Center for Philosophy of Freedom. Hmm. And if you know anything about libertarian thought, which is Rand Paul is somewhat libertarian in the Senate, if you know that, it's a very libertarian area, and it was begun with seed money, at least in its current incarnation, by two guys, Charles and David Koch, the Koch brothers, who are famous for their billions of dollars that they spend on conservative and libertarian causes. These two guys, by the way, are like 5 and 6 on the Forbes 400 richest people. Mm-hmm. And if you combine their fortunes together, they're number one. They're higher than Bill Gates or anybody. So they have a fabulous amount of money, billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they put some of that money in helping to establish this center at University of Arizona, and they have centers like this all over the country to spread their specific economic and political gospel. And what the center did is it actually created a high school class and a textbook, and they gave workshops to the teachers, and those classes are being taught in a couple of TUSD schools and in Vail and an amphitheater and in a number of private and charter schools around. And you know what? There's something very insidious about people creating something with a purpose of using their money to create a certain kind of a political I'm going to say propaganda in the way they put the class together. So I wrote about that.
And they would say probably just the opposite, that the universities are so liberal and run by leftists that this is a counter to that.
This is exactly what they say. And they have their argument there, but there are problems with their argument. Anyway, there are a number of people at the University of Arizona in the staff, you know, the academics there who don't like this and others who do. There are a number of people in this community who are just incensed, as I am, about these people's incursion into public schools, which, by the way, they don't like. They don't like, and I'm putting this as quote, government schools, because they don't like things that government runs, and they like to have the government take its hands out of education. So they're creating a course to create the mindset in the kids, the juniors who take the course, that government should keep its hands off of things like education. You know, it's kind of burrowing from within. It really disturbs me. So I'm going to be writing more about that.
All right, David Safir, thank you very much. We'll look for your work, and that will be at TucsonWeekly.com. You post usually every other day, would you say?
Yeah, a couple, three, four times a week, depending on how long the piece is and what mood takes me.
All right, TucsonWeekly.com. David, have a great week. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All
you
right.
too.
Coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen back. Mike is back in the saddle this afternoon. Yes, he is. I think he had guest host Leah Marquez Peterson was actually hosting for Mike yesterday. Anyway, coming up, that's this afternoon, 4 to 5, and then Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Interesting discussion we've got tomorrow about the future of high school sports and football, particularly. That will be a very interesting discussion with Jeff Skurin, Hall of Fame coach. Have a great afternoon and evening.